How close are we to finding a cure for Alzheimer's? We've reported on this programme before about repeated failures in medical trials to find drugs which can combat the disease. But work is about to begin on the world's biggest and most in-depth study to find the earliest signs of Alzheimer's disease, many years before symptoms like memory loss and confusion become obvious. Scientists believe that this is the best time to be using drugs to stop the disease developing further. Over the next 2 days, we're going to be looking at the research, as Andrew Bomford reports.
This is dated May the 12th, 1990, Saturday, she's written. I am writing this because I'm afraid I have Alzheimer's. I have thought about this for quite a long while.
Kate Latto is reading the diary her mum Patricia wrote when she was in her mid-60s, almost 30 years ago.
And now I have slipped into a no-man's land, no, a limbo, of not remembering. And what has shocked me most, not being able to write clearly. Believe me, this is a very conscious effort.
The diary's full of lengthy passages of poetry and Shakespeare, word perfect. Patricia was using it as a memory test.
Tonight I have quoted Yeats, Masefield, Shakespeare, word for word, without hesitation. So why do I find it so difficult to sign my name? It just doesn't make sense.
Kate found the diary in her mother's things many years later, when she went into a care home for her Alzheimer's.
It's quite a hard read, so I'll just start it. My mind is full of holes. I have read somewhere that a biopsy on the brain of a person who has died of Alzheimer's shows large holes, which would certainly account for the periods of lucidity and nothing.
And Patricia was only in her mid-60s back then, but she knew, or certainly feared, that she had Alzheimer's disease. But she wasn't actually diagnosed with it for another 20 years. Alzheimer's takes many years to reveal itself, between 10 and 20 years before the symptoms, like memory loss and confusion, might lead to a clinical diagnosis. The seeds of destruction are being sown deep within the brain, out of sight and unknown. So we need to find a much better way of identifying when the damage is beginning, because that's when there might be a better hope of stopping it, before it's too late.
This is an MRI scan, and now we are listening to the noise of the scanner acquiring functional information about the brain. So those beeps that you can hear in the background are the scanner working really hard, collecting information as quickly as it can. So every couple of seconds, we're collecting a whole brain's worth of information that the computer will later be able to turn into a picture of how the brain is functioning.
Claire Mackay is the Professor of Imaging Neuroscience at the University of Oxford. Inside the MRI scanner is a woman in her 60s who's part of an ongoing study into brain health and ageing.
How was that?
Oh, it was beautiful. Being on holiday.
This is the sort of scan which will be part of the big study about to start.
I need you to keep your eyes open and we just want your mind to wander.
The study's called Deep and Frequent Phenotyping. It's a bit of a mouthful, but it means the scientists will be doing a broad range of tests on people in their middle ages very frequently, every 1 or 2 months, to find the extremely subtle signs that the brain is just starting to deteriorate. The tests include 3 sorts of brain scans, memory testing, blood tests, eye tests, and the use of wearable technology to measure the way they walk. Simon Lovestone is leading the study, which involves the Alzheimer's Society and 8 universities. He's the Professor of Translational Neuroscience at Oxford.
Right now, we don't have any such test, but we do have indicators of where to look. So the Deep and Frequent Phenotyping study is going to do pretty much every one of these tests that anybody has ever explored. We're going to do all of them, and we're going to see whether any one of them measures change before people have symptoms. And then we're going to combine them using what sometimes people call big data analytics to see if perhaps if you combine different kinds of tests or elements of a test, you might end up with a better test. That's what we're attempting to do.
Alzheimer's attacks the brain by causing proteins to make clumps and tangles, firstly in the hippocampus, where we form our memories. The brain starts to shrink, and the damage breaks connections with the rest of the brain and gradually spreads to other areas, affecting language, understanding, facial recognition, movement and decision-making. We know how this happens, and we know it starts to happen unseen more than 10 years before any of these symptoms occur. And that's the time we should be testing the new drugs, when they're much more likely to work, before the damage becomes irreversible. But the challenge is finding those people at that early stage, before there are any symptoms.
It must have been so frightening for her. So frightening, and not really knowing what to do about it, to have her world shrinking and being too scared to be able to talk about it.
Kate Latto, whose mother Patricia wrote the diary we heard from earlier, is part of a study by the Alzheimer's Society called PREVENT. Research like this throws up many ethical dilemmas. If you find early signs of Alzheimer's in someone, should you tell them when there's no cure? Kate has been mulling over the question.
Would you want to know? And the answer to that is sort of, and I think probably yes. If I have a risk, if this is genetic or if it's diet and lifestyle or whatever, any of the other things that might indicate it, if I am part of something that's looking into this, that's got to be for the greater good. But also, selfishly, that could help me. I think not knowing is probably worse than knowing.
It's an issue the scientists behind the new study have also been grappling with. And on tomorrow's programme, we'll look in more detail at another element of the research, how early signs of Alzheimer's could be detected from the way you walk.
Andrew Bonford reporting.